You are listening to your wrestling podcast fix. New episodes of the NZ Geary at iTunes and SoundCloud.com.
Yep, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Yo, how's it going?
How's it going? How about you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All you got to say?
Yep. This is Brian.
This is DB Richards.
And JCO.
And tonight we have...
the classic Eric Martin.
If we can get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Let's give it a try.
You want to try again? He hasn't wrote back yet. Maybe. Let's try it again.
He's taking a poop.
Let's try it again.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Eric Martin. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, man. I met you a couple times in the past because of Dave Keener.
Yes.
Dude, you are amazing in the ring, and I can't wait to see you move up into like MCW or AEW or WWE in the future.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, your match with Karina was amazing at the Keener show they had in H2O.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was a... Yeah, it was a real fun match. Something I've been looking to for a long time because Colby's amazing in the ring, and you know, especially considering his father's lineage, and he's worked with Keener in the past. So, our Michael Keener, you know, that was my original trainer. So,
yeah,
you know, it was a big deal to me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mike Keener did a lot of great training with a lot of people in the past. You know what I mean? And he helped a lot of people. We talk about Brian Sosha at some points over the years. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Billy Bax was another one that was trained by Keener.
Yeah.
They're good friends of mine, you know what I mean, growing up with them.
Funscape was trained by Keener? Didn't know that.
So let's start off the interview. How long have you been in the business?
I started training in March of 2014. And so about 4.5 years, 5 years, I've been 4.5 years on actual events.
So who was your first match when you started?
So it was a 8-man tag team match. I tagged with Kid America. I was Kid USA at the time. Pogo the Clown and Ooh La La. It was an 8-man tag. There we go. Against the boss, Michael Tartaglia. What was it? I can't think of the guy's name.
It's okay.
I can't remember the guy's name. He almost hurt me in the ring. It was awesome. Cujo and referee Phil Sly.
Okay.
And ECWA. And I got body slammed on the floor on the outside during a brawl part of the match. Yeah.
So, I got a question. When starting and all that, what did your parents think of you getting into the wrestling business?
Oh, man, they were super supportive. I actually started training when I was in high school. I was 18. My dad was a huge wrestling fan. My first match was when I was 19. I was a freshman in college. It was awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, because
they're very supportive.
That's awesome, because there's a lot of people like going, oh, you're getting into the wrestling business, and at least your parents were supportive of you.
Yeah. Well, my dad was like one of my biggest supporters when I started.
That's awesome, man. Always at that family like that.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Oh, I was just waiting. So, before we did all this, I forgot to introduce us too. You know what I mean? I'm DB Richards.
This is Fran. We already did. This is what happened. We were actually trying to call the first time and just went straight to voicemail. We were like, okay, take, it's good because we were running a few minutes behind too, so.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's
Jamax, say hello.
Oh yeah, JCL is here too. How's it going, man?
He likes to be
how you doing, man?
He likes to be the silent assassin.
So, yeah, like, we know who trained you. I'm walking down on my list, you know, any questions. So, what was the best advice you got when training from Mike Keener giving you for the business and all?
He always told me less is more.
Okay.
So I'm sure that's a very common thing. A lot of people hear it, but you can get more out of doing less. So, like, a lot of people, when they apply a hold, it doesn't really mean much because they don't know how to apply it properly, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't, like, have as much effect. Most people get right out of it. But when I apply a hold, like, it's a very, like, it takes a while to get out of. You know what I mean? And, yeah. Like, I don't have to hit as many moves like some other wrestlers because what I do is effective. I do what I do well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's a question. So, that's one of the things where if you, you know, looking at other interviews with people when it comes to the style of wrestling that people typically see now compared to how it was like years ago was you know, like how
say that again? I'm sorry.
How the more the psychology based wrestling is kind of seems to be a lost art these days as more about the
spots.
Acrobatics basically, but
okay.
Is there any is there any wrestlers that you've looked up at or looked up to where maybe in the past that they were more about doing the athleticism over to psychology, but as the years progress and they try to tone down their style, it made them a better wrestler?
A guy like for example, like AJ Styles, used to do a ton of stuff, and now it's like he still does a lot of stuff, but it's more effective now. Like he'll still do the cool stuff, but he'll place it differently. Guy like Stevie Richards, because we both do a super kick. That's like both our big moves. So it's like when I hit the super kick, it means something.
It's not it,
man.
It's not like the super kick.
I've never
kick
had
party.
Anybody kick out of my super kick. So and a guy like Ricochet, very similar. Like he does all the nice high flying moves, but when he does it, you know that's it, man. Like you believe it. Like oh man, that's almost the end of the match.
Yeah, he's got the. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's got a point.
So, what's your number one goal in the wrestling business? What's the top notch that you want to be at in your career?
I just want to live comfortably. You know, I want to I love wrestling, so it's like this is it. This is the end all be all of what I want to do. So, if I can support my family by doing this, then that's what I'm going to do.
That's a good one. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so over the years, you can say that you've got to work with some, you know, some all-time greats. What was it like to work with like Tito Santana and Tony Atlas?
Oh, that was awesome, man. They were awesome to work with. You know, they have a different view of the business than I do, and it's a lot of like, hey, when we get out there, we're gonna see what's gonna happen. Yeah. You know, we meet before the match, but it's like I don't know what they're gonna do when we get out there, and it was a great learning experience.
Were there things that you were able to take away from those encounters?
Yeah, just know who you are. Tito Santana knows who he is as a wrestler, and then when we got out there, we just, you know, it was him versus me. I know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we both know our stuff, so it's easy to relate that to each other when we were out there.
Mm-hmm. So did Tito ever give you any
advice
in your matches to like change up or?
Yeah, he you know, he trusted me enough where it was like when we got out there, like he was comfortable. Like after a little bit, he was like, okay, I'll take some stuff from this kid. And, you know, I was able to, you know, be myself. He made it very comfortable for me. So, like I gave him a clothesline. He was totally cool with that.
Okay.
Like, yeah, he let me bump him a little bit, which was cool.
That is kind of cool. What about Tony Atlas? What was your idea with the legend right
you know,
there?
It was a lot of like character work. So he was like, "Hey, I want you to get your character over. And I was like, oh man, this guy doesn't want to bump around at all. And then the same thing happened after a little bit. He got a little comfortable with me in there, and it was, and he was like, all right, bump me, kid. He let me bump him. That was awesome. Cause I was like, I was brand new. I was 20 when I wrestled him. I was 19 when I wrestled Tito. So it was like, man, I was scared. I was, I don't think these guys are gonna let me do anything. Like, I was like, man, I gotta get my stuff in. But it was, you know, that taught me a lot. Cause once I became a worker, you know, now it taught me to like kind of tone everything down a little bit more.
Yeah.
Something that you were mentioning, just bringing up character. So we were talking before a couple of times about possibly getting Ulala on the show, and he said, you know, well, he would be all about that, except that he would be in character. Is there anybody that you've worked with where they've kind of gone out of their way to maintain kayfabe?
Maintain kayfabe?
Yeah. Like, where even... So, okay, here's an example.
Like,
so,
in the locker room.
No, actually, here's an example. It was, we were at a House of Hardcore show, and everybody was basically gone. Like, there was, like, not even really anybody left. And Sami Callihan, even though there was maybe two or three people still there, was still acting like a heel.
As yeah, a, man. For me, it's not a character. Who you see in the ring is who you get outside the ring. Like, it, I don't, I think there's too many people who try to be something that they're not, and I don't want to be remembered for being something that I'm not, like conforming or becoming a character or whatever.
Well, no, that wasn't specifically like a question towards you, but it was, yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the people in the past or even current, the best ones that are good on promos and their matches or everything are the ones that are themselves, basically.
Right. Because it's easier to translate a part of who you are to your character.
As opposed to, you know,
trying to be something that you're not.
Yeah, basically.
When you're trying to, you take an element of who you are and turn it up to 11. I'm kind of a dork and a boring person. I really just like working out and wrestling. So, you know, the training aspect is what I highlight in who I am. You know, the preparation going into a match or the situation is what I try to highlight more. Like when I'm in a match with somebody who's more of a technical wrestler, oh, I prepared for this. Or a high flyer, I prepared for this. Or a brawler, I prepared for this.
You try to stay well-rounded regardless of who the,
yeah,
who the other person's style is.
I'm pretty well-rounded worker, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, out of all the wrestlers you wrestled from now, from like starting off with Tito and all them, who were your favorites going through?
Favorite people that I've wrestled?
Yeah.
Well, Tito and Tony are at the top. I just wrestled Christopher Daniels and Kazarian a couple weeks ago. That was a fun match.
Yeah, I heard
we
about that.
FCW. Yeah, we wrestled SCU. Me and John Schuyler, the Saviors.
Yeah.
And then I just wrestled Alexander James, who's one of the Prince of Pro Wrestling. I wrestled him at H2O. He's somebody that I've known for a long time. He's also one of the trainers at WXW, West Side Extreme Wrestling, out in Germany. And I didn't get to meet him out there, but when he was home, that was a match I was really looking forward to having.
See
ya. Yeah, and then Jackson Stone is another fun match for me to have, that I had.
Is there anybody on your, maybe not using the word bucket list, but if you did have one, like, people that you would want to, people that you're like, okay, I really want to work with this person?
Oh, Timothy Thatcher.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, Evolve champion for a while. He's, you know, I lived with him for 8 months at, WXW. He's somebody that I would really like to have a go with. David Starr is another one.
Okay.
Jonathan Gresham, Tracy Williams, Flip Gordon is one, because I feel like we'd be able to counter each other pretty well. Yeah, man, there's a lot of guys that I really want to go at it with. Joe Keys is another one. I had a triple threat match with him, but I want to have a one-on-one. Soriano is another Monster Factory student. You know, there's a lot of guys.
So how was it working with Christopher Daniels? I remember Christopher Daniels when I was in high school. He was the best in the world. How is he now?
He's still really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints. You know, it was a really good match. It was probably one of the best I've ever had. He's so smart and was able to, like, you know, after the match, give me some really good feedback about, like, what I could do differently and, you know, how to, like, I don't know,
what's more
character involved, but even though I'm more wrestling-based.
What was the number one thing he told you to work on?
Well, he was really happy with the match, but he said just, like, slow down and, like, take my time, which is, you know, I had the nervous energy going in there with them because they're big stars, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so once I'm on that stage, I gotta slow it down a little bit more.
Okay. So, like, out of the two tag teams I know of, the Classics with Tyler Stone and the Saviors with John Skyler. What's the difference between you guys?
With me and John?
You and John and you and Taylor. What's the difference?
Me and Tyler were, we're both, I was the vet on that team. I had a year and a half on Tyler. But now it's like me and John's got, you know, probably 3 or 4 years on me. So I'm just listening to him now. Okay. It's a little bit more of a different role, you know. And I'm more of the muscle on the team, even though he's got bigger arms, apparently. Yeah.
So there's nothing difference between the groups?
No, there's a big difference. Okay. I'm more of a learning role. I'm learning from John, whereas me and Tyler were both learning. So John's teaching me a lot more about, you know, psychology and how to slow things down and how to be a little bit more methodical.
Yeah.
You know, me and Tyler were just in a rush to get everything done.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, have you had any worse injuries so far in the business?
Yeah, I had a separated shoulder from training. I took a cannonball and... Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Ooh, that just sounds painful.
I gave a Northern Lights, and the guy was pretty heavy, so I got a sports hernia from that. Ooh. It took me out for a couple months. Both took me out for 6 weeks each.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Mike Dale a couple weeks ago, and he told us he broke his neck. And I can't believe how much you guys put your body... Thank you for what you guys do. You know what I mean? You entertain us. And
oh, yeah.
It sucks that we treat you guys like shit sometimes when we boo and all and talk bad. But literally, like, you guys do.
Like, even when you guys boo, like, that's like, you know, that's not a, like, I don't know. That's not really a term of endearment or endearment, you know, for me personally, because it's like, I'm not going to change how I wrestle depending on the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like a mixed martial artist, the Conor McGregor's not going to change how he fights, whether he gets booed or cheered, you know?
Yeah.
But the same thing, like, you know, we all put our body on the line. Yeah. So.
I don't know if we've already asked this, but I just had to know. Who's your favorite opponent you've ever been in the ring with?
My favorite opponent that I've ever been in the ring with?
Mm-hmm.
That I really enjoyed wrestling. That's a tough one.
Or, like, who do you enjoy working with that you work with pretty often?
Constantly, yeah.
I don't know. I had a good time working with Jackson Stone. Me and him are good friends. I just wrestled Ken Dixon recently, too.
Okay.
And he was a pretty fun opponent. He's a MCW and Future of Honor student, so...
Okay, okay. So here's a question for you. Have you ever received a receipt in the business, or have you
ever given a receipt?
Or have you given a receipt?
I've given a receipt.
Can you tell us a story about that one?
Yeah, I don't play any shit. A guy chopped me in the throat, so I headbutted him in his face. in a battle royal. Because, one, you don't chop for no reason. Like, you're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
And he was being a dick about it because I said, stop chopping me. And then he threw a shitty one, so I headbutted him in his face. And then I stomped him out in the corner. I hit him in his neck, and he goes, we're in the back after we both got eliminated because we were both losing. And he goes, oh, man, I really liked it. You work kind of snug. I'm like, nah, dude, you're being an asshole.
Oh, wow. So he thought the whole time that you were just going along with it?
I was being that's strong hilarious. Style. Whatever.
The snug twerk. Style.
The snug yeah, twerk.
Yeah, we need less people like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then a vet in the locker room called him out about it because he saw my neck, and he was like, and then he messaged him, I don't know who you are, who are you talking to like that, and then he apologized to him after the fact. Like, this guy just needs to know his place.
I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Like, when people say, like, trying to maintain integrity or whatever, and, like, you have times when somebody might not be selling a move a way that they're supposed to be, or they're not doing it well enough. You ever have a time where you're basically like, okay, so you're not going to sell this. I'm going to make sure that you're, I'll just do it for you anyway.
Like where they're not selling properly?
Yeah. Like if they're not selling properly, so it's like, okay, I'm really going to wrench this arm bar or just something like that.
I haven't encountered that, other than like in training. And even then, you try to communicate how you want them to portray. I go over it before the match. Like, hey, I'll be like, hey, let's, when I'm doing this, maybe, you know.
You sell this, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean,
a certain way.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's various stories, I mean, you know, where
you just hear about
people, and, like, that it's like, okay, this person wasn't doing this the right way, so, like, you know, you hear about people.
I try to communicate it before the match. So they
kind of know ahead of time what's going on.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, there was like a wrestling legend pay-per-view, and they had Jim Duggan. Yokozuna, and I forget who else was out there, and Jake the Snake. Jake the Snake was drunk as hell. So they're Yokozuna's trying to kick him, tell him to stay down, but he keeps on getting back up. And they're trying to push him down, keep him down. But, gosh.
He's never selling them, yeah.
I have that somewhere in my DVD collection.
Nice. Yeah, that was just a shit show. So.
Yeah. You know, I haven't really had to deal with too much of that.
Okay.
That's good. It's always good. You're not going to ask your favorite question?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'm going to ask that set.
Well, shit.
So,
favorite question?
Okay, we call it the Brian Pillman.
Pulling the Pillman.
Yeah, pulling the Pillman. So, Brian Pillman Jr. So back in the beginning of the year, Dan Moth gave him a big chop and he took his shit in his pants. So my question is, have you ever soiled yourself or threw up in a match?
Nah, I'm well conditioned and I eat right before the match.
Every time
I don't get sick. None of that happens to me.
Every time that we've asked that question, and a couple of people mentioned that they didn't shit, but they might have puked.
Yeah,
it's typically like, oh, we were trying to get a little bit of extra energy before the match, so we had an energy drink, and that always just leads to bad results.
I don't do energy drinks or pre workouts before a match.
Yeah,
I work out. Probably 3 or 4 hours before a show, and then it's all worn off, and then.
So what's your workout
routine?
Yeah, routine.
I usually take more of a bodybuilding approach as far as like my split. So like Monday I'll do legs, Tuesday arms, Wednesday chest, Thursday back, Friday legs, Saturday rest day because I'm usually traveling, and then Sunday I'll do shoulders. And but recently I've had to tweak it. I'm rushing my workouts, doing a lot of supersets because I'm on the room with Ring of Honor a lot now. So
okay.
Do you are you already good? Are you already like well conditioned, or do you do like cardio or anything like that?
I do 25 minutes fast at cardio in the morning, and I'll do 25 at the end of my workout.
Nice.
Most times. Depends on how much time I have during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you're working more with Ring of Honor, you said?
Yeah, I'm training down at the Ring of Honor Dojo in Maryland, and I'm on their ring crew a lot of the time. I just actually had my first match on their it wasn't for Ring of Honor, it was Future of Honor, but it was before one of the, in front of their crowds.
Okay.
So, yeah, I teamed with Brian Johnson and Joe Keys against the Shinobi Shadow Squad, which is Cheeseburger, Eli Isom, and Ryan Nova.
Okay, yeah. I like Cheeseburger.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I've trained with him a couple times.
Who is the trainer down in Ring Honor?
Will Ferrar, primarily.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's super smart.
Okay.
I've trained with Jay Lethal, Taven, Joey Mercury, Bully Ray. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That is kind of cool. How is Bully Ray?
Super smart, intense, but really knows his stuff.
Okay.
I gotta say, man, you got yourself one hell of a resume right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like I listened to Bully Ray on the radio
show,
Busted Open, and like it sounds like he's a dick, but I'm listening to him, but he's telling stories, so I'm like listening, and I'm like, okay.
It's just that he's like very very blunt and outspoken about things.
Yeah. Did he ever take you a different way when he speaked or
spoke?
Yeah, he grabbed me and said, "Do you really think I can whip you across this ring?" And I was scared, so I said, "Yes." We all know the answer. The exact opposite.
Okay, when traveling, what do you do? Like if you're not driving, do you read a book? Do you watch movies? What's your routine going on to a trip to...
We're going to skip that part. Do you have any interesting road stories?
Why? I want to know what he...
To answer your first question, usually my ass is knocked out because I'm the worst passenger in a car ever.
Worse than Gangrel?
What? Worse than Gangrel? Yeah, probably not. My craziest road story? So... Wrestled at the Nashville Fairgrounds, which is a big old school like TNA stadium or arena, whatever. It was cool to wrestle there, but after the fact, we had to drive. So we had an Airbnb, but when we were leaving the fairgrounds, I was like, "There was a stray dog outside." So we're like, "All right, awesome." We opened the door to go pet it, and hopped in the car. So we drove to the Airbnb, it slept in my car, we walked it and everything, we made a makeshift dog leash, brought it all the way back 14 hours from Nashville to find out that it had rabies. And I'm just going to say, long story short, we had to take it to a farm.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, brutal bummer. But it had rabies, so...
It's like I just wanted to go for a ride.
Poor old Yeller.
Yeah, she was. We named her Freedom. It was a nice little trip.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's always.
All I'm saying is, all you other workers that are listening to this, don't pick up stray dogs and drive them home.
Mike Dale told us a story that they picked up a hitchhiker, and the dude told them.
Yeah, Mike Dale is an idiot sometimes, huh?
The one with one L or two?
The one, two L's.
Nah.
Oh, he said they picked up a guy, and then he told him he got out of jail, and they got him out of the car.
No.
Good.
The whole story was that he was like, oh, he wanted us to take this one route and yeah. the route didn't exist. So yes. so it was just like, yeah, it was kind of a mystery. We don't know what the hell that, you know.
Probably trying to murder him.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Nah, so the bit with Gangrel we mention every once in a while because Dave Keener.
Well, yeah, we're trying out doing interviews, and we did one with my Dave Keener. See how everything is, and
the question that we were asking him was, you know, do you have any interesting road stories? He was like, oh, absolutely. And the road story was that he was riding with Gangrel, and Gangrel fell asleep in the back, and that was the story. And Dave was like, oh, that's awesome. Do you have any other stories to mention?
Oh, we love Dave. He's part of our family and all. And, but yeah, I'm gonna be going to LAW this Saturday coming up with Dave, and Dave's refereeing.
Oh, nice! Yeah, I always love seeing Dave.
What's that?
I always love seeing Dave. Liberty All Star is a great spot. Yeah. I always love going there.
It's fun. I see how much they all love wrestling and.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ola does a great job being the booker in the back, and
Ola.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It was kind of crazy. Got me selling his shirts, and like it was nonstop. Everybody was buying everything, and I'm like, I think we made like $180.
Yeah,
and I'm like, holy crap!
You see him, tell him I want to fight him.
Yeah, I see some matches with you, and like I was going through some old stuff to try.
Nemesis.
Yeah, I was trying to like post like mostly a lot of your matches on our Instagram page on Facebook. That you're welcome to come on and promote yourself on there.
Mm-hmm.
Sell T-shirts, whatever you want. Do. When you come on to the Instagram, you become family. So welcome to the family.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there, for anybody who's trying to look up information or just follow you, is there any, like, social media accounts that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. So Twitter, which I need the most followers on. I'm just going to put that out there. I need the most followers on Twitter.
Okay.
Classic E. Martin. Yeah. It's like Eric Martin, but, like, without the R-I-C. So, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And then Instagram, classic Eric Martin. That's with an at in the beginning. And then Facebook is just my normal name, so feel free to add me on there. It's a real name, no gimmick, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So,
I was blessed. I was born with two first names. It was like perfect wrestling name.
So, do you have any wrestling matches coming up?
Yeah, so June 1st, I'm actually going to be wrestling, in a MCW tournament for the Tag Team Championship alongside, John Skyler. I believe we're wrestling, two women wrestlers, and we're probably going to beat their faces in, because they're women. what else do I got coming up? Let me check my calendar real quick, boys.
Yeah.
Matches. Oh, I'm wrestling Johnny Moran, the man, in Glassboro, New Jersey, my hometown.
Okay.
May 25th, which will be nuts because me and him used to tag up in northern Pennsylvania, but clearly he's a loser and he's not me, so.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, for the next couple months, MCW primary focus. That's all I really know where I have matches. I'm in a we're in a tournament. We're on a show alongside the Gorillas of Destiny, and then we're both, me and John Skyler, are going to be in a Royal Rumble style match called the Bruiser Rumble, Bruiser Strong Rumble.
Okay.
Yep.
So going back to one question right there about the women, is like working with women, is it something different, like style? You have to, like, watch?
Nope.
Nope? You just go all out?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, what the way I was trained, I don't treat girls any differently when they get in a wrestling ring than a man. Whenever I've had to train with females, I've always been taught to treat them like another worker, just like another wrestler. Don't baby anything, you know, because there are some chicks that I've gotten in the ring with that hit harder than men. So, I mean, they hit harder than me. And I'm like, oh, well, if I had, you know, we wrestle the same, we train the same, you know, we don't sugarcoat anything, because it's just going to make them a better wrestler.
There was an interview, I think it was with Joey Ryan, when they were asking about intergender wrestling. He said, it's okay. You want to know why? Because it's consensual. Like, that's basically it. Like, it's an agreement. So you guys have a match. It doesn't matter if it's male versus female.
Yeah.
Hey, this was fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're welcome to come on anytime, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. We'll be in contact. I'd love to come back on. Yeah. I had a fun time talking to you guys.
Looking forward to checking you out in the future, man.
Yeah, we'll
have to see some of the shows. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like, when Dave told me the people to watch, he said you, what's his name?
Chuck Payne.
Chuck Payne. yeah, he was like all about Chuck Payne. Chuck Payne's really cool. We're trying to get him on. But he wants to get one.
Yeah, Keener definitely pushed for you, though. He kept saying, you got to get him on, man.
You got to get him on. Eric Martin's going to be the future. And, like, looking at you in the ring, I'm like, holy crap. You got the Drew the height. You know what I mean?
I cut all the hair off now.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You had that Drew McIntyre look going on.
Now I got the Finn Balor look going, apparently.
Oh, really?
Short hair and a beard. I don't know. I don't look anything like him. I have better abs.
Oh, gosh. Oh, this is great.
This was good, guys.
And, anything, any questions? Like, do you have any, like, pictures that you want us to post, or?
Any pictures or anything?
No. Okay, so, well, we'll take care of that after we cut the recording off.
Just really good ones, you know.
Just ones that don't look horrible.
None of them.
Awesome.
None of them.
Well, okay, so here's another quick story before we hop off here. Another reason why we were asking about that was because we had an interview with Brian Socia, and we always, on our SoundCloud page for the episodes, we put up a picture of the wrestler for the interviews. We found I put up a picture that was an older one of him when he was a chick magnet and looks absolutely anything like he looks now. And like, I think it was maybe a half an hour later, like, Socia was talking to Dave and he was like, yeah, can you guys like change that picture to something a little more recent? So but
they're like, alright, just accept what the picture is. Like, who cares? It's still of you.
Basically. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, so
whatever. I don't care about stuff like that, honestly.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit more laid back than a lot of like other wrestlers. So about stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, this was great. This was Eric Martin.
Yeah.
The classic.
There you go.
Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Alright. There we go. There was a part on here I was gonna kinda cut off, but we don't have to worry about that. Was there any what do we have coming up?
Oh, okay.
Don't mention the interview dates.
Yeah, I got it. So these are the last two interviews till I start looking for the next ones. The last two is May 12th. Topa T. If you have you seen Topa T yet?
Yep.
Guy's amazing. He got the whole superhero look going on. And then May 26th, Primetime Amy Lee.
Awesome.
And then I got open dates coming up, and I'm going to try to figure out who to bring on. So I'm trying to bring on?
You can mention those people.
I'm going to try to bring on Gary Wolf. One of the pit bulls. ECW right
Who
there.
Who else is on your bucket list?
My bucket list?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my bucket list. I would love... I know it's going to be hard to find and get him, but my bucket list, talk to Bret Hart.
What about you?
Why? Austin Aries?
No.
Jay Lethal?
You mean Kano from Mortal Kombat? Anyway.
Dude, doesn't he look like him?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I could picture Jay Lethal over the other two.
Honestly, no, you asked what my bucket list is.
I know, but...
Honestly,
but,
my bucket list is a little more simple. I just want Dreamer.
Dreamer would be great, too.
Why don't we just ask him at a HOH show? We could just... The thing about Dreamer is the fact that you could probably just be like, yo, can we just get like 5 minutes with you like right now? You know?
Yeah, we could do that, yeah.
Can you talk about that wonderful time when you like ate Taker's spit? Like...
Dude, like, there's so many people that I would... Dude, I would love to sit down and listen to Barry Horowitz. I know he was a jobber in wrestling, but he was that good, he got the guys over.
But if you were to listen to Barry Horowitz in the past, you would realize that that's the one thing he does not want to hear. I don't like to use the word jobber.
Yeah, I would never use the word jobber. I'm just saying... You know what I mean? There's so many people. Like, but Gary Wolf is on my list.
What do you mean he wouldn't use that? I want to hear the honesty. I want to hear the honest Dave come out and be like, you don't like the word jobber? What are you? Us?
Snowflake? No, I would not do that. But definitely, I would love to talk to Gary Wolf. I remember my first ECW match.
You guys do talk, don't you?
Like, he, not really, but he...
I mean, you've messaged him online, right?
He's yeah,
gotten back to you.
Yeah, but I've also messaged Sheik, and I haven't heard anything back.
Gary Wolf.
And for some odd reason, we got randomly blocked from Shawn Michaels on Twitter.
Really? Oh, really?
I don't know why.
Oh, guess what? Me and Cody Rhodes are friends again.
Actually, you know what? That is awesome. I think I do know why. Probably at one time, you know what? I think he probably does a Twitter search and goes, who has made fun of my lazy eye? I'm blocking them all.
No, like, remember, like, the whole thing with the whole Cody Rhodes thing? Like,
yes,
that
we do
you started.
I asked a question, and yeah, I could have changed
you
up.
Did.
But, like, it was kind of cool because, like, out of nowhere, I'm, like, seeing Cody Rhodes on my regular Twitter, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I clicked it. I'm, like, friends with him now. I'm like, I could be friends with him again? Holy crap!
Now don't screw it up.
I'm not gonna screw it up.
We need to get an interview with Chuck Taylor.
Dude, I would love to do.
No. Michael Nakazawa.
What is that? What's that one guy? MFR? No.
MJF?
Yeah, MJF.
MFR? What the hell?
I don't know.
That?
I'm thinking. I don't know. Don't ask
Come
me.
On, Jim Ross.
God. I don't know.
MJF would be interesting because he definitely stays in character for like every one of his interviews.
Oh. On a side note, not having to do with interviews or anything like that, but was one article where they were talking about the Young Bucks match with AAA.
Oh, their match with the Lucha Brothers and
yeah.
AAA,
and how it like pulled in insane numbers,
like 5.4 million.
And of course, the people that want to mention, they were just like, it's still just a T-shirt company.
Yeah, it's like, what more does this thing have to do? Like,
it's like they're pulling in numbers that WWE would be happy with. They don't even pull that shit on like Raw these days.
See, us guys that want to see a product and we want to see something.
Yeah, but
now,
us guys also understand that a product of this caliber still takes time and development.
See,
you can't just have it instantly.
They could do what TNA did in the beginning. Put a couple shows together.
There is a reason why they don't. Because of TNA's current situation, where even if they were a solid product, which they have been getting much better, people still see them as a certain brand.
But back in when TNA was starting out,
but it doesn't
they did
matter.
2 hour pay-per-views.
It doesn't matter. It's what they're doing now. The only company that can get away with, like, you know, oh, well, like, they used to do things this way is WWE. Because WWE right now is strictly just about the brand. Nobody gives a fuck if they have a shitty-ass product. It's just the fact that it's WWE, so people are going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But TNA in the beginning, to starting off, they did 2-hour pay-per-views every 2 weeks. Okay, they made people understand who these guys are.
That's not even why people start watching. Everybody knows that who has followed TNA that they started watching it because of the X Division.
Oh yeah,
that is what put them on the map. And the second that they tried to like dumb it down, where all of a sudden they were having guys, I mean, Samoa Joe was in there just so he could be the X Division killer, but like when they started having other people in there that really shouldn't have been in there, that's when it went downhill.
So. Gotcha. So, I really want to do like a tour with Liv Morgan.
What?
No, like I was watching Ride Along with Liv Morgan and the Riot Squad, and she's right there going, "This is where I live. This is blah blah blah. This is over here. Blah 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 blah."
So she was pulling an Enzo.
She's doing an Enzo, yes. And I would love to get in a car with her and tell me all about New Jersey.
I will say this. Me and Liv Morgan would have some beautiful kids.
Shut up.
I'd put a baby in her so hard.
So, here's the thing. Just, I want to say, she suffered a broken toe while dancing on a stripper pole.
Well, that sucks.
I know.
Yeah, she just bumped higher up on the list.
So, I know that we're changing from Liv Morgan to something Enzo and Cass related, but did you hear that Cass promo that he cut online towards the Briscoes?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else was mentioning, they were like, "Man, I really like this Cass." It's like, no, it's the same Cass. It's just that he's allowed to cuss now.
Yeah.
That's literally the only difference.
So,
I don't understand, though, why he's still going on through with these promos thing, because I'm pretty sure Ring of Honor's not going to be doing anything with him, right?
Of course they are. Otherwise, he won't be doing this.
I thought they said that the whole them running in on the G1 thing was just like a test, and since it did like so bad, they're just like, you know what, we're not going to...
They're going to stick with it, because Ring of Honor lately has been a shit show.
True.
So, what do you think of Lio Rush having backstage heat?
Forget Lio Rush for the moment. What do you guys think about the NWA card that just happened the other day?
Hold on.
Lio Rush has always had backstage heat.
But so this time it's with Finn Balor, and Rush's wife is in the back.
Once again, Lio Rush has always had a reputation backstage. Nothing.
Yeah. Whole Asuka fiasco.
That's part of the reason why they basically had him as like Lashley's bitch.
So the NWA card.
Yeah.
That looked amazing.
Yeah, I heard, Mari Scroll and. I'm going to call him Magnus, because that's who the fuck he is. Had a really, really good match. And we've all been in agreement on, like, all this, about how, like, he's okay. Like, he's decent. Like, all around, he's, like, a 7 out of 7.
He's perfect.
I mean, a 7 out of 10.
He's perfectly... He can be carried to a great match.
Yeah, like, he's perfectly, like, fundamentally average.
It's like above average Mike Sanders.
Really? Like, that's basically it. But I heard he put on a pretty, pretty good match with Marty Scurll. He's still retained, but it was still a pretty damn good match. I heard the fucking Rock and Roll Express, his match was shitty, but Ricky was, like, showing out in the ring. Like, he was doing shit that you, like, he did... quite possibly the most flawless Hurricanrana I've ever seen a 70-plus-year-old man can do. And a Canadian Destroyer on top of that.
Somebody asked a question on one of them sites, that who is the oldest wrestler going on today?
Paul Orndorff. But yeah, he's still wrestling. I know it sounds crazy, but he's still wrestling.
Now, there was this one guy, you know what? I wish I could remember, but it was still years ago, so he probably doesn't wrestle anymore. Orndorff.
Dude, he looked like he was ready to die when I met him. That was a couple of, like, last year.
Yeah, I heard he's still doing, like, some matches. I don't know why.
I thought he had a broken neck.
He probably does. Doesn't.
You know. It's like Sabu. Sabu doesn't care what happens.
No, he doesn't.
He just wants to keep on going out.
Terry Brunk.
Yeah, like, I heard, like, something about him going, you shouldn't wrestle anymore. He's like, screw that, and he still's out there wrestling.
He needs the money so he can pay for his drugs. You remember that, why? You're acting like...
No,
because... Sabu is definitely on drugs, okay? Like, there's there's no hiding that.
Yeah,
like,
he has to be.
Oh, speaking of, so a couple other things. I know we're kind of just drifting off into randomness, like... Funny ass picture for you remember what was posted on Twitter on 420?
No, what was it?
It was a picture of it was a picture of Matt Riddle and what the hell? Oh, that
Matt Riddle
and he just died. Matt Riddle and Van Damme. And they were like happy 420 day.
Yeah.
So what was the other one? It was Van Damme, he had an interview with not too long ago when somebody was asking, like, oh, so what's your deal with TNA? Or what's your deal with Impact? Like, you know, I just signed a contract or whatever with everything that you've done. And he just flat out goes, money. It's just money, you know? And he's like, don't you have enough money? And then Van Damme is like, you can always have more money.
So, WWE is getting ready to relaunch the network?
Relaunch the network.
Yeah. So, they're going to try to make it more like Netflix. Please don't. I don't care how much
more you like Netflix, how?
I do not know. That's what I was reading. They want to be more like Netflix.
They want to make the money like Netflix.
Too bad it's not working out in Netflix's flavor since they upped their prices and now everyone's jumping ship to Hulu.
I have Hulu, I have Netflix, I have WWE Network, I have Amazon.
Well, damn, you just got everything, don't you?
Yeah, I'm planning on just not having cable. But my whole thing is I just need WWE to have the shows on Knock that I can watch them, you know what I mean, without cable.
But you need to find streaming services for the independents. Because fuck WWE these days.
That's what you got. Fiat Lite or whatever.
Fight TV.
Is it Fight TV?
The one that streamed All In. And what was the last show that they had on there?
G1 Supercard?
Yeah, that one too.
So. And plus it would be a lot better to just have all this stuff. And pay a lot less than a big giant amount of money.
What was one thing we were talking about Bray Wyatt's current character?
I'm enjoying the beginning of it.
It's interesting. I heard they're probably not going to go through with it, though, because apparently WWE's backers and shareholders are like...
Did you hear what Bray Wyatt said online, though?
Yeah.
When he was like, I love shareholders!
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
See, they shouldn't listen to shareholders. Because I got the feeling of Mr. Rogers plus Pee Wee's Playhouse.
It's like but like the idea of like a Mr. Rogers cult thing doesn't kind of sit
well. Having a cult with kids.
Yeah, having a cult with kids kind of doesn't like sit well with them.
But half the shit we watched today, like, what was it? The Tubbles or what were they called? The
Teletubbies?
Yeah, the Teletubbies.
That was a
freaking cult show.
No, it wasn't. It was just like the equivalent of watching a show on acid.
Dude, and then you had, what's that other one? A Purple Dinosaur?
Dude, don't you fucking disrespect Barney.
Dude, Barney was a freak. I love you.
Fuck you. Barney was amazing.
Hi, everybody. I love you all. I'm Barney, the Purple Dinosaur.
Dude, don't shit on my childhood right now. Like, for real. You can fuck off.
You didn't think that was a cultness to it?
No.
You know,
everybody, I love you!
What the fuck is evil about telling kids to share?
You would have marked out if Barney got the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah, you would.
Of course I would.
And you would have been pissed if he ate a leg drop.
See,
yeah,
your childhood to our childhood was so much better.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean...
How do you figure?
Because look at the crap they had in that day. You got Blue's Clues. You had like a freaking doofus going, hey everybody, I got Blue's Clues.
Oh, and Transformers was so amazing.
Transformers was amazing.
Yeah, okay.
they taught us that, like, everything transforms.
The only thing they did was teach you about death at a young age when Ultimate Prime fucking warranty wore off.
I'm done.
Dude, that was funny. Thanks. But, like, okay, your cartoons were horrible.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, come on. Yes.
Batman the Animated Series.
Okay, that was one good thing.
I'm pretty sure none of your fucking shows won an Emmy.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to look it up online right now.
Yes, I'm typing it in right now.
90s cartoons that won an Emmy.
The Muppets.
Muppets doesn't fucking count.
It's not a cartoon.
Dude, but that's my hair. They had the Muppet
That's
Show.
That's everyone's Mr. fucking era. It's been around since the 50s.
No, they weren't.
What about Teenage Mutant 70s. Ninja Turtles? And Ghostbusters.
Ninja really? Turtles, Ghostbusters.
Do you remember the Ghostbusters TV show?
Yeah.
That much?
Yes. I have them on DVD.
All you got, you just watched the first movie, you skipped the second movie, you watched maybe the first season of the TV show, and then that's it. You completely disregard the remake, by the way.
What about DuckTales?
DuckTales is amazing. That's probably like your
one. Ghostbusters 2 was awesome.
Actually,
oh, fuck you off. No, okay, I'm not even from that era, and I know that's bullshit.
Dude, I love that movie.
You're about the only one.
There's a bunch of people love it. The Ghostbusters fans out there love it. They don't like the remake.
Bitch, where? No one says, oh, you remember how good Ghostbusters 2 was?
I love Ghostbusters 2. That was my fucking movie.
It was the fact that the only reason they did it was for the money.
Dude, I can't wait for Ghostbusters 3 to come out.
Yeah, keep dreaming.
Well, it's because that one's a true sequel. What do you mean, keep dream on?
You can't have a Ghostbusters 3. One of them is dead.
They're making a Ghostbusters 3.
They're making a... they're already signed, like, half the cast already.
You know what?
So who are you going to get for the replace the guy to die?
They're not going to replace him.
They're putting CGI a new group together.
Oh, so
they're gonna be the leaders of the
So then it's not a sequel. It's just
it is a sequel.
It is a sequel because the kid.
It's not a reboot like the older one.
Okay. In Ghostbusters 2, when they did the whole birthday thing, remember the birthday little thing in the beginning? That kid is Ivan, the guy that directed the movie.
Ivan Reichman.
Son, he's gonna be directing the Ghostbusters 3. So it's kind of cool. Get from.
But can we forget about that and bring up the fact that there's going to be a new Bill and Ted?
That's going to be awesome.
I'm a little bit...
Bill and Ted's Midlife Crisis.
Excellent.
See, that's the... I love the idea of bringing it back. But the only thing that's going to make me sad is no Rufus.
No, they said that they were... No, they're... Like, that was already mentioned because they were like, yeah, we're not going to recast him. There's going to be... He's going to be in there somehow, at least as far as the story goes, you know.
Yeah.
But,
because George Carlin, love you, brother.
Yeah.
Dude, did you hear John Cena is going to be in the Fast and Furious series?
Is that actually true, though?
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying, just because you heard on TMZ doesn't necessarily make
sense. No, it was on Vin Diesel's page. Vin Diesel did a video and he's like, look, who's joining the cast? And John Cena's like,
why? Is this just his reason of getting back at The Rock?
Yeah, he's doing it out of spite.
Yeah.
Because The Rock wanted to take over Fast and Furious movies and Vin Diesel's like, no, it's ours. You're just on here because of social media.
I agree. Vin Diesel is him and Pablo. He calls him Pablo Walker. Pablo Walker. It was him and Pablo's movie. You know what I mean? I totally understand where they're coming from with that.
Yeah, but it's the fact that it didn't turn into a super mega franchise until after The Rock joined.
Yeah.
It was doing well, but it wasn't doing, like, insane numbers.
Yeah, because before it was directed towards a specific audience, and then they turned it into an action film series.
Yeah.
Now the only thing that's left was them going to space.
But yeah, and I fucking called that from the last movie. So if they do that, I want my fucking props.
No, I'm just saying. It'll be Fast and Furious Infinite Warfare.
You know, because I was saying from the last one that came out, they're going to go to fucking space.
The only
fucking quote.
No, and then the only thing they have to do after that is time travel. We're gonna throw so much nitrous in this car that it's gonna go back in time.
So the Rock's taking the sequel.
Like, so what, are they gonna hit like 188 miles per hour?
They're doing
11.21 gigawatts,
and we're back in time.
11. We're back. 21.
No, no, they need to go back in time to a time when it was all about street racing.
Yeah.
So you got Hobb and Shaw gonna do the spinoff. From Fast and Furious series with,
Idris Elba.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Roman's in that one. Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but it's not like he's got like a big role. He's just in the movie.
Hi, I'm Roman Reigns.
It's like hey, something. I need something to do because I can't wrestle because I'm dying of cancer right now. Now I'm cancer free. Thank you.
That's what pisses me off about the whole situation. It's just like the fact that just because he's doing like a couple of scenes in the movie, everyone's gonna act like his cancer is fake. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That pisses me off the most.
Okay, Magic Johnson wrestled. I mean, Magic Johnson fucking played basketball at the Olympics with fucking AIDS. Like,
yeah, and most of the people he was playing against was totally not thrilled with that.
Exactly.
But here's the thing is that. Everybody acts like it wouldn't be against Vince. Like, oh, Vince wouldn't possibly do that.
Yeah,
we're talking about millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Your thought process changes when there's millions of dollars involved.
Okay, Vince McMahon tried to kill himself on screen.
But he completely changed his shit up after real events happened.
Yeah. But my question is, where was that going to go? Well, if Benoit never died, where was the storyline going? I just wanted to know. Big question, Vince.
The Undertaker brings him back from the dead.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my god. They have a buried alive match. And Vince like pops out of the grave.
No. It'd be a fucking casket match. And then when someone goes to open the casket, Vince
it's
is in
me,
it.
Taker!
See, that's the whole thing. Where would we be if storylines that they stopped, like that one
they
stopped?
They don't have anything planned ahead of time because everything is done literally by the day.
What about GTV? Where was that going?
It was going nowhere. It was just a product of Vince Russo going, you know what? We're going to do this because it's funny. There was no long-term goal with that.
See, this is the stuff. You do a storyline. Okay, I want to check this out and see where it's going.
This is professional wrestling. Very rarely in WWE. Like, you know, the whole... So, okay. My God. We keep going forward with this. This was a topic of conversation where they said, here's the problem with doing long-term storylines. You take the Ciampa and Gargano storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They had a beginning and an end planned out for that. Yeah. And it was supposed to happen at TakeOver until Ciampa got injured.
Yeah.
And like basically, they said, here's the problem. Is that if somebody gets injured in that long period of time,
yeah,
you got to change it up.
Correct.
And that's what happens. That's why all storylines are typically... It's like when CM Punk, like during his Money in the Bank,
yeah,
with Cena and everything, and how it was like, oh, they should have him work indie shows and really sell that he quit. And then he came back like a couple weeks later, and even Punk was like, yeah, that could have been stretched out, but this is lots of money, and we want immediate results, and that's just how WWE is. So
that's what we need. We need something like that to get you more into it. Because WWE is now working a lot of indie companies.
They don't
It's just shaking
hands with a couple.
It's not a matter of people getting into it. They could care less if you're into it or not. It's the fact of they want to be the mass market buffet. You can eat so much of this that even if you get sick of it, the first thing that comes to mind still is WWE. They're the fucking McDonald's of wrestling. Like, you know?
Well known, McDonald's. But oversaturated as shit.
Yeah.
And the quality is up in the air most of the time. Sometimes you get some fresh stuff. sometimes you get the product that's just been sitting
there. Their double quarter pounder is awesome.
I did post something.
I do like the one at the mall because my food is always fresh. That's
Triple H is in charge of that one.
Yeah. The one, the McDonald's at the mall is NXT.
the one near 4th Street is that's Monday Night Raw.
So I post something on our page, a Booker T interviewing Hulk Hogan recently.
Okay.
And they brought up the whole word. And Booker made a lot of sense. You know what I mean? And Hogan understood.
What do you mean?
You have to listen to it. Like, that's
well,
my whole thing.
Well, the story has been mentioned over and over again. It was the fact that Hogan really didn't give a shit. And Booker T thought he was going to get fired.
If you listen to the story, it...
I don't have to listen to it. Just tell me what you're talking about.
Like, okay, Hogan... After everything went down, he felt like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong?
Hogan or Booker T?
Hogan. You know what I mean? Hogan's like, oh shit. How do I get out of this? And there's people, like Booker T is saying, there's people today, if you say one word, people are going to get upset about it. You know what I mean? And I agree with it. I agree with Booker T on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, and I can't stress this enough, this is an instance where Hogan thought he was comfortable to like basically tell how you really feel when he thought no one was watching. It's not about it was a slip of the tongue. It was like,
okay, let's say this: you're getting recorded. You say something wrong.
He didn't
know
he was getting recorded, though.
I know you don't. I'm telling you, you're getting recorded. You don't know you're getting recorded, and it gets out, and you said something wrong. Like, look at Jussie Smoltz.
Obviously, you're going to apologize.
Is that his name? The guy from Empire? Jussie? Is that him? How he blamed it on the white people for him getting jumped.
If something gets out, though, is even in a private residence, then you apologize for it, which Hogan... Like, here was the issue with when Hogan did all that shit. It was...
He wasn't sorry you said
it.
He was sorry.
Well, it was... It was the way that he was trying to, like, you know, instead of just saying, I'm sorry, and just being done with it. It's kind of like, okay, you know what? I hate to use this, but I'm going to use this as an example. So, my one mention of politics. I know. Like, so my one mention of politics. We have a current guy who says he's going to be running. And he said, when these reports came out about how my behavior is with touching people and everything, that was just a product of the time. Like, you know, but here's the problem I have with that is the fact that it really just comes down to your overall opinion of the person over anything else. Because the same actions somebody else does, why aren't they mentioned? Or, like, you know, okay, so I know I'm not making any sense. You get fucking Trump supporters. They're going to say, fuck this guy. But then this guy's doing the same thing or whatever, and then you flip it around, and then these supporters are going to be, like, you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, yes. I understand what you're saying.
It's not a matter of, one of my friends online, they were like, oh, fuck Creepy Joe. And I said, you can say that. Not a problem. But the action itself is fucked up regardless, so it doesn't matter who it is. Okay? There's not a matter of who you support. The action itself is fucked up. So when it comes to the thing that Hogan did or whatever, I know that kind of stretched it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it was, like, he is a public figure, and it came out, so now he's got to eat responsibility for it.
Yeah. But at the time, maybe he didn't know what to say. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter. You just own up to it.
Dude.
If you own up to it, people...
He did in this interview.
Yeah, but it's the fact that it took as long as it did. Like, you know, it's...
There's...
If you beat around the bush with it, or if you're kind of like, you know, it sounds like... He made it sound like he was full of shit, basically. You know, like the way that he was trying to like cover up or be like, okay, like, you know, oh, well, I have black friends. I was like, yeah, that's great.
But you should listen to the interview. It's kind of funny. Like him and how him and Booker T were talking and the story.
I mean, Hogan honestly these days has tried to keep his nose clean, but they're just going to have to live with the fact that some people are just not going to be happy with him. And he has to realize that, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, people are still going to be pissed about that. And then one of my other friends online, when he was talking about, like, oh, it's a product of current, like, you know, how everybody is overly sensitive towards racism and stuff. It's like, there are people that are pissed off over Triple H for what he did with Booker T many, many years. That was 2003. And there are people to this day that'll still talk about that. So, it's always been there. It's just that social media has blown everything up where it's all in your face now.
And I think that freaking ruins a lot of things. So, I think that's why I'm a little bit away from WWE right now. Like, I'll sit there and watch, like, Raw and SmackDown, but I'm away from it. Like, I fast forward more. You know what I mean?
Why? What does that have to do? What does being overly sensitive?
I don't know, because like,
what does oversensitivity have to do with the quality of wrestling?
It's not the, I like how they made the whole, dude, I support Kofi Kingston as champion. Now they're talking about him being like, somebody said, what was the word? He's too goofy as champion. He shouldn't be champion.
Really? Because we've had Mick Foley as champion.
Dude, like, I disagree with the guy. I'm just saying what I'm out there.
But you're always going to have somebody that makes... Everybody is going to... In your mind, okay, do this. In your mind, think of the most absurd thing that you could possibly think of. Like Baron Corbin having a kid as a fan. And hey, guess what? That kid might have autism, but it's still a fan.
Yeah, could be.
And Baron Corbin is, like, fucking dog shit. Like, okay, you know what? This was the other thing. If you follow him on social media, it's like, or if you follow when he's, like, not in character, it's like, okay, you know, he seems to be a pretty chill guy, I guess. Yeah. So, whatever, but it's when people use the they use the argument, oh, well, he's just doing his job as a heel, and he's doing a good job. If you're doing a good job as a heel, you should care that the face is beating the heel. But when Kurt Angle was saying, oh, I'm going to make Baron Corbin tap out of WrestleMania, nobody gave a shit. Because it's like, dude, you're still, that's a complete waste of time. You know? That doesn't make a good heel.
And I think that was their worst idea, putting Corbin versus Angle.
But again, it goes back to, like, when people want to use the excuse, oh, well, you just don't like him because he's a heel. It's like, there's a certain kind of hate. And when it comes to, like, I just genuinely just don't want to see this person in this position, that's, like, that's such a cheap way of building heel heat.
See, I didn't think Kofi should have won the title at WrestleMania. I thought he should build up the storyline a little bit longer.
But that's what they did do, though. It was Elimination Chamber, and then they were going to run the match at the very next show, and then they said, oh, let's cut it so that people want it more, and, you know, and make it a bigger it had the most impact with when they did it.
I understand that. I just thought it was forced that he won it. It's like, oh, we're gonna put it on him, because everybody's like, the whole race thing going on at the time, you know what I mean?
But it's WrestleMania. That's supposed to be the end story. That's not supposed to be the continuation.
But the story was getting started anyway at that time.
But most stories these days hardly even go for more than a month or two. Yeah. And we see what happens when they build it for months. Main roster, most of the time it doesn't work out well. AJ Styles versus Nakamura was supposed to be like a huge dream match. It ended up being a shit show.
Oh, dude, that was horrible. It was really...
And their Wrestle Kingdom encounter was fucking amazing. It was the reason why they got signed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everybody was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, and it sucked.
Oh, yeah. It does.
So, So sometimes they do things right, but that doesn't happen very often.
Dude, I would totally be the first person to say Kofi deserves having the title. But I think WrestleMania was just... Everybody was like going...
I'm really pissed off that they're not running Kofi versus Orton right now.
Dude, it would be a great feud right now.
That's exactly what they should have been doing. But anyway, that's enough of that. We got to hop
so,
here.
So, before I walk away from this, Aleister Black.
What
he reminds me more of Orton.
Aleister Black reminds you of Orton. How?
Like how he's just... How he acts, you know what I mean? Like he's...
No, you know who Orton is? Or the only person that comes to mind with Orton? Let's see if you get this right.
Who comes to mind with Orton?
Who's another Randy Orton?
In WWE?
No, just in general.
I would say, like, Tama Tonga.
Okada.
Oh, yeah, Okada definitely is just like Orton.
Okada is a Japanese Orton. Because...
That is so true.
Because he really does... just enough to make the match acceptable. And, oh, it's called upon me to have a good match. Okay, I guess I'll do that.
Like what classic Eric Martin said, less is more.
Yes, yes. It was the whole character question that was like, no, this is just... I'm like, I'm not mentioning you. Don't get upset with that. Like, it was kind of like when we had the one interview with, I forgot who was saying, there's a couple of things that I want to do to maintain character. I didn't know if I should have strayed away. It's like, dude, you can do it all in character if you want. It's fine.
Was it Pinky?
No, Pinky's not a character. He's definitely the way he is.
Oh, what was that? Was it on Christina Marie?
Well, I'm not going to mention who it is because, you know, because then it's going to be talking about stuff that we talked about, like, off the recording. All right, so that's it for this week.
So, happy Easter to all the Greeks out there. It's Greek Orthodox. It's Easter for them.
Orthodox.
Yes.
Happy Orthodox Zombie Jesus Day.
Yes, for the Greeks out there. Yeah, they're always... sometimes it lands on Easter, sometimes it doesn't land on Easter. So it's like, Mike Lapia is Greek. We always do wrestling shows at his house. So, happy Easter to Mike Lapia and his family.
Hey, Mike, who do you like? Do you like this person? He's cool. He's cool. He's cool. What about George? No.
I hate him.
You don't like George? No.
Oh.
Got some shout outs to do, actually.
Oh, shout outs! Okay, I'm gonna shout him out right now. Ace Porter and Wrestling Cave. I'm just taking his job.
Ace, that match is gonna happen. So I hope you keep brushing up, because you're gonna lose.
Oh, we gotta do this one too. Double dropkick. Two cool... I forgot how it goes. Two cool guys who like wrestling.
Ooh. Two cool dudes who love wrestling.
We got Mark Al Club. We got...
Dan Syk, he's gonna be posting some matches stuff up from the show in Michigan. I think he's in now.
Yeah, shout out to Frankie
Picard. Thank you, brother,
and
for
Josh,
everything.
And Joshua's five takes. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And got some other people on there.
There's so many. Like
the man who does everything down the middle, George Pomerino.
Yeah, there you go, George.
And Dave Keener, the referee who calls everything down the middle.
Yeah, down the middle.
And you can't say that wrestling is fake or he'll want to kill you. I don't know. Other people. Oh,
there's a lot of people.
What the hell is his name? Why did you just say what the hell is his name? That was going to sound wrong if I do say his name. You forgot about me? The man who's running the league, right? Now is James Weiss.
James Weiss, thank you, James Weiss. You're doing a great job.
And shout out to my favorite drink that Jim Max always gives me shit about, Nos.
Hey, if you want your tongue to dissolve.
Hey, Nos, if you want to keep on saying,
I got some better teeth than you do, man.
If you want
to, yeah, okay.
If you want to give us some Nas, come on, sell them to us.
I know they're better because I paid good money for these.
Special thanks to Monty. We miss you, buddy.
We got some ramen waiting for you.
Yes. When you come up here. Yes,
I can't wait to have some ramen with my boy Monty.
I hope it's man's man. I hope it's like a Sunday he can come on and just do a show with us.
No, because if he does stop down, we're just doing whatever day that he stops down. That's when the interview day our show's going to be.
Yeah.
Because you do remember that we typically record on Sunday night.
Yeah.
But really, we could record any time we want to. Hell, we could do another one right after this one, but we're not going to because that would drive Jamak crazy.
We could do next week's.
What? We're going to be pre-recording like Raw?
It's like, oh, did you see what happened on Raw? Yeah. And nothing happened because we don't know what happened. Yeah, we can do.
Yeah, because we still have to do that retro episode. Oh my gosh, you know what else we have to do then after that? We have to do a future episode.
A future.
We have to talk about what we think should happen in the future.
Oh my god.
Like, my god.
Dude, that should be like a New Year's Revolution thing. See what would happen.
Yo.
In the year.
No, here's an idea. And this is what we have to do. We got to record something and then specifically like tag a date on there. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, at this time, this is what should be going on. And then when that time does come and we see how ridiculously different things are, it's like, why didn't they go with this idea?
This is our idea. What's wrong with you, Vince?
Instead, we got Lars Sullivan as the Universal Champion.
You will love that.
I don't really know about that. Like,
He's Gene Snitsky's little brother.
Yeah, but everything loses its charm once it's the main roster. You know?
True.
I mean, people, like, Lars was actually watchable, sort of, in NXT, where everything is watchable. And now it's just like, okay, so he's beating up R-Truth. That's awesome.
I like R-Truth.
Exactly.
I'm a big fan of R-Truth.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want to see Lars Sullivan beat him up.
Only if it's a good match.
They're not going to have a good match.
Okay. But the retro, like... Okay, let's do this. If you're listening, send us a date. And we can do a retro episode. And we can keep on.
We already said what era we were going to be covering. It's going to be Ruthless Aggression era because that's the one that we're most familiar with as a group.
Give us what date and what, like the day part. Give us the week and we can talk about it.
Between WrestleMania 19 and WrestleMania 21.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I think the whole idea was that it was. After, it was basically when that era started and before, like, the Cena era. Like, when they basically made it, like, you know, okay, Cena's going to be the man.
So, can we, like, when we do this, can we get the whole, like, Wayne's World thing, like, oh, we're going to go, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then go into
it. Do whatever you want.
Like,
you can do whatever you want. You want to know why I'm agreeing right now? Because we have to hop off here.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Because you need to get your car. So.
I know. I missed my car. I'm DB Richards.
I'm JCL.
This is Fran.
Thank you, the classic Eric Martin, for coming on.
Yes. Thank you for putting up with our shit. Now, see you next week.
Night, everybody.